I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. They have new locations in Alexandria and Ashburn, Virginia, and they are taking appointments. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, that's the foursome. Howard Eskins will join us at 8:20, Eagles reporter. Alan May on the Caps at 8:40. But right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our buddy Chris Russell, Redskins insider for 106.7 The Fan.
Christopher.
What's up, Chris?
Hello, fellas. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Rooster.
Last night was interesting. It was interesting developments last night.
It's going to be a chipper week around here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the end of this week, you guys are going to need that holiday party every day.
Hey, EB wants to fire Minuski today. Do you agree or disagree?
They got
to
do something.
I mean, you could fire Bruce. Like, start with that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
we got no control over that.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like, yeah. This is, like,
he's been reluctant to let GMs go, but he'll fire coaches.
So. I know.
Something that's reasonable. Listen, reasonable move to make.
I mean, honestly, what happened to the defense? 5 weeks ago, we were talking about how great the defense was. Nobody could run against them. Right. They're forcing turnovers. I did the math on this. In the last five games, they're giving up 430 yards per game.
Yep. It's been
they
awful.
They don't have the injury caveat, right?
It's been awful in every way because you can run the ball at will on first down against them. You can run the ball at will on second down on them. They miss tackles. They're out of assignments. Their coverage, their corners are not good. Dunbar's injury obviously is hurt. They are starting to get bludgeoned now by tight ends, which was always a problem and was good this year. Missed assignments, bad communication on the back end. Zach Brown and Mason Foster can't cover a soul. And basically, Preston Smith is in and out. And I thought again last night, and I fell for this. And JP, I think when we did that show, the pregame show a couple of weeks ago at Glory Days, I said, you know, Preston Smith's got to step up. Preston Smith's got to step up for the Redskins to win. I think that was the Falcons game, and they got blown out. Well, then Preston Smith has two great weeks after that. And I'm like, Preston Smith's got to be, like, the man again. And he's right there, and he's about to break out. And in order for the Redskins to win, I said this with Santana Moss yesterday, and then Preston Smith is invisible.
How about this?
A lot of guys.
When you play the Eagles, you know they're going to throw screen passes at you. They couldn't stop a screen pass.
Nope. They couldn't stop a screen pass. They couldn't get off the field on third and short, third and medium. They are not – see, what they're not right now, like, I think what's happened ultimately is Hazlitt, I know he gets a lot of criticism, and I know I used to defend him ruthlessly, but he would always tell me, and he's right, when you can't stop the run and teams can do whatever they want and they can dictate to you whatever they want, you have almost no chance. And if you think about that, I mean, of course you still have to execute, but that opens up the run, the screen, the play action, the deep vertical, the intermediate, all of that stuff. Whereas when you can stop the run, which the Redskins have not been able to do over the last five games, then you can make a team be one-dimensional and say, okay, even if they have a good quarterback like Carson Wentz who can extend plays and who's generally accurate and a good tight end and so on and so forth, at least you know what's coming 75-80% of the time if you can stop the run, if not more, right? And it allows a defense to not only pin their ears back on a pass rush, but to guess or anticipate more. Now, when they can run the football like teams have been able to the last 5 weeks, fellas, when they can run the ball like Josh Adams and Corey Clement and Darren Sproles were able to last night, when you can rip off those kind of gashes, a defense is just simply get because they're just like, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's going to work. I don't know how we're going to. They came up with one big stop when they had to against the run last night, and that was the fourth down and goal by Zach Brown, who flew off the edge and was unblocked. Otherwise, you know, maybe they give up that touchdown. It's even worse.
Yeah, well, like last night was a type of game where when your quarterback goes down and you got to bring a guy off the street,
yeah,
you know you're not going to score a lot of points. The defense is – you have to rely on the defense to make plays, and, yeah.
What about
they're just
the
not good enough. I mean, 28 first downs is outrageous.
Yeah, how about getting off the field on third down and three, please? I mean, that's driving me crazy. And when they blitz, they get beat too. You know, it hasn't been good.
What about the idea that, AP clearly still has it, but, had a lot of injuries up front. There aren't many holes. He's, like, jump cutting, like, behind the line of scrimmage every time.
Yeah.
Was there an opportunity? Okay, you've got Sanchez in there. Like, we saw when RG3 went in with the Ravens, they just kept pounding the football.
Yep.
They didn't even let him throw.
Yep.
And God bless Sanchez. I thought today's not the day to beat him up. He tried. He gave him his effort.
Absolutely.
But was there an opportunity to kind of try to pound AP more, or would that have just been futile too?
Of course there was, EB. I mean, this is a defense that not only had given up the 90-yard run. Now, part of that was because of a missed tackle about 8-9 yards into the run at the, in the middle of the field that sprung AP loose. So I want to point that out. But this was a defense, the Eagles defense, that was giving up like 4.86 yards per carry. I mean, that's absurd coming into the game. And when you have that kind of, that tells you, again, bad tackling, which, again, sprung Peterson for the long touchdown. And that also tells you, and this was something that I thought the Redskins would have a lot of success with, they have a lot of, like, wide splits where they try and align their defensive ends or their outside edge guys. Usually their defensive ends kind of wider than typical, wider than normal, right? Well, what does that mean? That means it's a harder task for the tight ends and for the tackles to pick up, but it also means that you have more space interior-wise to run and to gash them against the run, especially if they're going to miss tackles. And that's exactly what the Redskins could not do much of the game outside of the 90-yard run and virtually at all in the second half. I don't know how you are down 14-13 at the half. And you have Mark Sanchez, who, again, just got here yesterday. And, yes, he's a veteran, and, yes, he knows Kavanaugh, and, yes, he knows Kevin O'Connell and this and that, and we can talk about that until kingdom come. How you come out in the second half and don't have this, again, ground-and-pound philosophy, and how you don't try and soften up that Philadelphia defense, which, oh, by the way, stinks on the back end, too. I don't get it. They didn't score a point. They didn't move the football at all. They didn't have seemingly any clue after that last two-minute drive to end the first half.
Joined by Chris Russell, Redskins insider for 106.7 The Fan. We need you to put on your Dr. Rooster hat now. Redskins quarterback Colt McCoy fractures his right fibula in the game last night. I mean, will he be ready for training camp? What's the prognosis at this point? How long for this recovery?
Yeah, I don't know about Dr. Rooster, but I'll take my best shot here. I think Colt will be ready. I don't think Alex Smith is going to be ready. And maybe I'm jumping to conclusions there, but you hear a lot of bad stuff, kind of murmuring.
Aren't you hearing some bad stuff about what's going on with Alex right now?
I mean, nothing specific because they don't know specifically, but you hear, Glazer had the 8 to 10 months. Schefter had the, he may not be able to return thing. I mean, you hear quietly. I just want to point out, not from any medical people, that they are concerned in the building that this is going to take longer than they originally thought, 6 to 8 months. And remember, the Redskins have been bad, guys, at projecting this stuff, right? They throw out a number right away, and people hang on to that like it's gospel. And they don't know. They don't know. And they put Jay Gruden up there as their corporate spokesman, and he doesn't care. Not only does he not know, but he doesn't care. And so they're pretty much screwed here from the standpoint of, I guess to the overall point, right, Colt McCoy's not going to be ready for OTAs. Alex Smith, we know, is not going to be ready for OTAs. The start of training camp, hard to imagine. I can't imagine he plays in the – they are so screwed at the quarterback position. And people are going to get mad at me, but I'm just going to say it, and they can just deal with it. Kirk Cousins played 49 straight games. He played 49 straight games as the starting quarterback of this team. You never worried about Kirk Cousins getting hurt. I mean, you always worry, but you never had to worry about Kirk Cousins getting hurt. For all of his blemishes, for all of the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, big games, this, that, and the other thing, he was always there. And I said this last night on my postgame show. I don't know if you guys agree. You know, sometimes you have to create luck. And sometimes you're unlucky, and I get it. We're all unlucky to some degree. But you have to create luck. And the Redskins, I think, by their unmitigated gall sometimes with decision-making and thought process and not having backup quarterbacks and not having quarterbacks on the practice squad and letting Kirk go and not dealing with Kirk fairly when he was first, you know, exploding on – all of that is coming, I think, is coming back to roost.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, Kirk's gone, so they've got to move on. And you're right, they are screwed at this point, especially with all the money that's owed to Alex.
Yeah, unless
Alex says, you know what, I can't play anymore, I'm just going to retire, which I doubt is going to happen, but we'll see.
That would be the one potential positive. I was talking about this with somebody at the office yesterday. It might have been CK, but I would have to double check this. When you retire, the base salary goes away, but not the guaranteed. And mm-hmm. his money for next year is fully guaranteed. Not for injury, it's fully guaranteed.
Right.
So
right.
They would still be screwed next year.
They're still going to pay him $15 million next year?
Yeah. Instead of so even if he retires, they would still have to pay a ton of money next year under the cap. Now, the difference is they would be out of it for 2020. That would be the difference.
All right. Do you think that they are going to make some sort of a move on the coaching staff today?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I had been told, and I've been told this all along since I think I reported this with you guys back in March, you know, that Bruce is very much in trouble. And I have heard the same thing repeatedly over and over and over again from not only my source, but others indicating that this is very much a reality, that, you know, Dan is fed up, frustrated, this, that, and the other thing, and for good reason. And Bruce and his way of handling the Doug Williams situation, putting Doug in charge when Doug shouldn't be a corporate spokesman for the front office, all of that. I could see Bruce I don't think it'll happen right this week. I could see Bruce soon getting removed from president of football operations, but I don't think Jay Gruden gets
fired. Well, that would tell me
that
in fact there's a God if that happened. is it unusual that Bruce is not in Dan's box? And then who was the guy that Dan was cozying up to? I don't know if you saw the images last
night. Yeah, I saw Dan. I didn't see.
He was right next to some guy. And I was like, who is that guy?
Who he was with. Yeah, I'll have to go back and check that out. Bruce is normally and always in the assistant coach's box. And remember, he's been very involved in challenges and an instant replay and helping that out in years past. I don't know his exact role now still with that, but that is normal operation for Bruce to be in with the assistant coaches and not to be with Dan on game day.
I think it was Robert Rothman. Robert Rothman.
It could have been.
And I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Maybe it was Dwight Schar. I can't remember. You know, I can't remember. There's so many couple of minority owners.
I'm looking at the pictures of the ownership group. It was Rothman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Chris. So, appreciate the time as always.
Right. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Rooster.
Chris Russell, check out his work at thesportsjunkies.com and thefandc.com. Remember, Alan May is going to join us. We'll talk about a good topic, the Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup champions.
When do we get? Can we get a
ring?
I need a smile. Thanks.
Alan May will join us at 8:40.
I actually need it.
Yes. But next, we're just going to get trolled by.
Oh,
and we kind of enjoy it.
Just
going to be
inside
Howard Eskin, legendary WIP host in Philadelphia, sideline reporter for the Eagles. Howard Eskin joins us next here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in 20 minutes, our pal Alan May, Capitals insider for NBC Sports Washington, will join us. Talk about a team that's actually playing well. Capitals.
Did Alan make the trip to Vegas for the Caps game against the Golden Knights?
I'm not sure. We can ask him in 20 minutes. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, one of our favorites, very controversial every time he joins us on the show, is Howard Eskin, Eagles sideline reporter on the Eagles broadcast. What's up, Howard?
Good morning here in Philadelphia. Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning in Philadelphia.
I'm sure it is.
I bet.
What do you make of the Redskins the last couple weeks?
First of all, I have a message for the whining listeners that you have that complain about me. They have a football team that can never win. Never. Never. So they whine about me. They have a football team that is now, with a month left in the season, has gone into oblivion. And they're whining about me. Oh, you knock yourself out. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You know what? Can't argue with that. You're right. Can't win.
Isn't it kind of sad how it's developed this year? They were 5-2. And I don't even think you would have predicted this type of collapse, where they're down to Mark Sanchez at quarterback.
Incredible.
No, you can't think you're down to your third-string quarterback. It rarely happens. And I mean, I feel bad for Alex Smith. Obviously, they weren't going to win with Alex Smith, but they were going to be better. The Redskins would have been better. And then Colt McCoy, when I saw the replay, and I saw it after the game, obviously, I could see where his leg broke. But I'll say this. Last year, I suffered a broken fibula on Christmas night in a game when I got kicked by a player on the sidelines. But I played my role as what I do as a sideline reporter and everything else, and finished every game, didn't miss a play through the Super Bowl. So
Who kicked you?
Torrey Smith. He was tackled well out of bounds, and he relaxed, and I thought it was a calf injury. For 10 days, I didn't know my leg was broken.
Wow.
And then I got an X-ray, and I saw my fibula completely cracked.
Poor Howard!
But I'll say this. I see where Colt McCoy's was. It's closer to the ankle. Mine was closer to the knee. So it's a non-weight-bearing bone, but I understand why I can't play. And I feel bad for him. I do. I mean, I like Mark Sanchez. I know him, and I knew him, obviously, when he was here. But you were going nowhere anyway, so now you have another excuse. The Redskins always, you line up the excuses. You guys line them up. The fans line them up. Just line up another excuse.
Most of the fans, Howard, today, we've taken, I don't know, 75 calls, and most of them just want Gruden fired, and they want the entire house clean.
You're reveling in beating a bad
Redskins
team.
There aren't that many excuses today.
You're reveling in it, but your next tour against the Cowboys and the Rams, both on the road, so your playoff futures and fortunes are looking a little bit dicey, too.
They are defending champions.
The Eagles will win next week in Dallas. The Cowboys are frauds, too. It's just Dak Prescott's a fraud. The Cowboys are frauds. He goes 24 for 28, and they only scored 13 points. I mean, spare me. They only scored 13, and he was 24 for 28. He is not a good quarterback, and I think the Eagles will win. But we'll relish in this win as we say goodbye to the hail to the Redskins and goodbye to the Redskins, because that was the end last night.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Why did Peterson decide to go for two when the extra point would have put him up eight, knowing that it's Mark Sanchez you're going against? And you probably don't even need to score anymore. Interesting.
The worst you're going to do is have a tie, because they're not going to go for two. The Redskins won't go for two. And based on, you know, everybody uses analytics nowadays, and the league has become more aggressive with going for two. It makes it a two-score game. And as it turns out, he was right. The worst it could be is 7 points up, and the Redskins would have not gone for two. At home, the worst you'd be if you didn't, and the Redskins had some miracle of scoring a touchdown, then the worst it would have been would have been a tie game. So when you look back at it, a lot of teams now go for it on fourth down, fourth and short, depending on where you are on the field. And a lot of teams now are going for 2 points. It's just – It's what teams do, and as it turns out, I'm okay with it because it worked.
It worked, yeah. Well, Philly had 28 first downs, and you know, Mark Sanchez, when he came in, he did what he could. You know, I knew he was going to throw a pick at some point, sooner or later. He did what he could, but they only had 10 first downs. Yeah, you can't win games like that.
What would you do, Howard, if you were in charge? I mean, obviously, everybody says fire Bruce, but I don't know. I just don't see that happening. They go through general managers about every 15 years, but we go through head coaches all the time. But you know, what's realistic to expect?
Well, I'm not a John or a Jay Gruden fan. I am a John Gruden fan. I'm not a Jay Gruden fan. However, players win games, mm-hmm. and with Alex Smith, they would have kind of hung around. And I understand that. I don't know why they didn't sign Kirk Cousins, but hey, maybe they saved a little money. I don't get the whole.
He didn't want to be here either, though. He didn't want to be here.
Well, okay. He wanted a contract. Then he would have wanted to be. Everybody wants the money. But the reality is, when you lose your starting quarterback, you're really in trouble. And the Eagles did last year, but they had a quarterback that has played. That has played before and was a starter and had success when they got Nick Foles. And as soon as Carson Wentz got hurt, you saw what Nick Foles did, or maybe he didn't, but he won the game against the Rams out in L.A. But without your quarterback, players win and players lose. The Redskins, it was like the body bag game from I don't know how many years ago when Brian Mitchell had to be the quarterback for the Redskins. It looked like guys were going down all over the place. And you can't win without players. So I am not a Jay Gruden fan, but this is not the reason that I would fire him, because when you lose all those players and not just the quarterback, it can't always be the coach's fault. The people and you guys and everybody on the air and media are quick. They were killing Doug Peterson this year. He's still the Super Bowl winning coach coming off the last Super Bowl, and they were killing him this year here in Philadelphia. So I don't blame the coach all the time, and I try not to blame the coach most of the time. Now, we know there are bad coaches. Jason Garrett is a terrific guy, but a mediocre at best head coach. But he got lucky, so he may
but
have
I think
saved
that's, yeah,
job.
I think you described Jay. That's Jay. I think you described Jay, right? Mediocre head coach, but a great guy. Like, I'd love to have beers with him. Love to play golf with him. Love to hang out with him. But mediocre coach.
I would say he's maybe a stride above mediocre, but you can't blame him for this. But then who do you get? When people want to change coaches, do you want to change just for the sake of change?
Sometimes
you have to do that.
Kind of.
Every coach has an extra expiration date. So you got to figure out whether the next coach can get any more out of the players. I don't think they have a good enough team. The Redskins don't have a good enough team. And so I don't care who you put in as coach, but you guys know Jay Gruden better than I do. But I've never been a fan of his. But you can't blame him for this. But if they fire him, it wouldn't be the wrong thing. It would be just typical Daniel Snyder moving on to the next loser.
Nobody's going to die on a mountain for Jay Gruden here. He's been to the playoffs once, and this is his fifth season. Real quick, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you.
Think about Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
He's been
in
the playoffs all the time, and he's never won. It's a joke. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you on just what you're hearing out of Philly regarding Bryce Harper. Because we found out yesterday Bryce Harper, I guess, met with Magic Johnson and the Dodgers. Are the Phillies going to make a play for him, or have they decided to look at Machado? What's going on there?
Well, they were after either Machado or Harper. And one of the guys from the Nationals at the end of the season when they were in here in September told me Bryce Harper really likes Washington, and he wouldn't be surprised if he stayed. I still don't think that the Nationals are out of the picture. And the Phillies now seem to be going, from everything that I hear, going more after Machado if they can get him to play third base, because they just acquired a shortstop from Seattle.
Right.
So if they can get him to play third base and he agrees to that, then they will get Machado and not Harper. Scott Boras plays this little guy. I don't like Scott Boras a little bit, his agent. So he plays this game, and it's a dog and pony show with parading him around and trying to get more teams, or him saying more teams are interested to drive the price up. All Scott Boras cares about is driving the price up. Now, Bryce Harper has got to stand up and make a decision. And the other thing he wants is this opt-out, which is the most ridiculous thing I've heard, because if you sign a $300-plus million contract, you want an opt-out after 3 or 4 years so you can increase that contract. Because once Trout signs, then everybody's number goes up again, and Trout will be out there in a couple of years. So I don't think Harper's coming to Philadelphia. I still think there's a chance he comes back. He goes back to Washington, but it's Scott Boras. It's playing this little game of parading him around the country. So who knows what Scott Boras is going to do? I mean, I didn't know Jason Worth was going to go, and that, as it turns out, I think that was a good signing. I like what Jason Worth left to the Nationals. He was the player that the Phillies could least afford to lose because of the way he played the game. And he made a good deal. And everybody said, oh, how could Jason Worth get $127 million? Now that's chump change when you look back at it. So I don't think he's coming to Philadelphia, but I'm not quite sure where he goes now.
All right, Howard, appreciate the time. It's Howard Askin from WIP Radio, sideline reporter on the Eagles broadcast. Thanks, pal.
See you, Howie.
All right, Alan May is going to join us next. Capitals are in first place atop the Metro. They won seven straight before losing their last one. We'll talk to Alan May next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back to the Redskins a little bit later. I guess we have to. Tarik El Bashir is going to join us, covers the Redskins. He'll join us at 9:20. But join us right now to talk about a team that, you know, they're only the Stanley Cup champions. They only ripped off seven games in a row, seven wins in a row before they lost. It's our pal Alan May, who's brought to you by the DC Lottery, where winning never felt so good. Play the new Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champion scratcher today, and you could win $50,000 instantly. Alan May joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. Did you make the trip out to Vegas for the Caps game against the Golden Knights tonight?
No, I did not, because I had to do radio. I had to do radio with you guys, and I didn't want to get out of bed at 5 a.m. after going to bed at 4. So I declined. I punted on the trip.
You mean you can't work well in an hour's sleep?
Well, I did one day with you guys, and that was the morning after they won the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I set my alarm to quit drinking that night at 2 a.m. and snuck out, did the Irish out at 3 a.m. And I was on the radio with you guys on time for a good chunk of my morning.
Hey, you know, we talked to you about this last week, but we can talk further about this. Just talk about the impact that Tom Wilson has had since his return to the lineup.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge what the record is with him right now in the lineup. I think they're 8-2, but everything's gotten better. The goals for, the goals against, the penalty kill's better. I think the power play even stepped up with him taking over the TJ Oshie role. And I just think the way he plays the game, it's not that he makes his team, you know, 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but I think the opposition doesn't take any liberties with the Caps when Tom's in the lineup. And it seems that everyone's even more fearful of him now that he's become the most hated man in hockey on Twitter. And all these guys have Twitter accounts and they believe all these things that people are saying about him. But I just think he intimidates the other team so much that the impact is that his team can do a lot more out there and not have to worry about the other teams taking cheap shots, taking any type of liberties. And we saw New Jersey act like they were the toughest, baddest team in the league the second night of the season when the Caps lost 6-0 or whatever it was, maybe the second week of the season. And the other night when they played here, they didn't throw a hit. And so it's completely a different mindset and mentality for both teams when Tom Wilson's in the lineup.
Wilson didn't get any further discipline from the league for his hit on Brett Sinea of the Devils.
Well, that would have been a joke.
What was your reaction to that incident? I'm guessing it was similar to Todd Reardon's in the postgame presser, where he was incredulous that Wilson was thrown out of the rest of that game.
He was incredulous. I was pissed off. And I'm not as eloquent as Todd Reardon, and you know, I don't have to worry about keeping the league happy with what I say, but I was pretty upset with that call. Because I was watching the referee. He was not looking at the play. He just made that one up on the fly. There's no way it should have been a suspension. Now, if Tom had not lifted his skate up and went into the player. I'd have said, he is screwed. He's done. He's definitely getting 20 games this time, and the appeal wouldn't work. But that was unintentional, incidental contact. Mm-hmm. And from playing the game all the years that I did and covering it as I have, you know, you're back checking, you're coming back into your zone. All of a sudden he looks up, that guy's in his lane. He tries to swerve out of the way. And for anyone that said he should have done more, they've obviously never played the game. And those that have very short memories as to the collisions that happen on the ice. Ovi and Connolly headbutted each other in warm-up. They didn't get suspended. They didn't get match penalties. Referees run into players all the time. It's just one of those unfortunate things that happens. And there's nothing Tom could have done to avoid contact on that play.
Is Tom Wilson going to troll the entire NHL and make the NHL All-Star game? That would be pretty amazing, Alan, if that happens.
You know, it absolutely would, but you know, you only get about one player a team, and you know the league wants Ovechkin there because he's got the best personality, right. And you know he's a story, but it would be incredible if he were able to go. You know, in 10 games now, he's got 8 goals, 6 assists, 14 points. And that's not supposed to happen. So he's on a pace to be right up there with Ovechkin as far as goals are scored. So, you know what, I just hope he continues to have the offensive luck that he's had and the good fortune. He's getting the bounces right now. He's playing so well. And I hope he continues on the status pace so he can get rid of all the Twitter internet media trolls, season ticket holders up in Toronto, and get them off his back, because he's proving a lot of people wrong about how good of a hockey player that he actually is.
Caps surrendered 5 unanswered goals to the Ducks in under 21 minutes on Sunday. A lot of people were like smacking their foreheads, couldn't believe it. A 5-1 second period lead devolved into a 6-5 loss on home ice. Were you just fuming as the lead slipped away, or is this just sometimes leads go away in hockey and it's a long season, you just got to get past it and move on to the next game?
Well, you've got to get past it, but what I did notice in that game, and we had talked about it, I had brought it up at the start of the third period, is that I felt the Ducks were having a surge at the end of the second, and the Ducks are a very physical team, and physical doesn't mean you have to fight and hit all the time. It's how tough they are on the puck when they're fighting on the wall, and they started to take over the game in that regard, and I don't know if you remember, but their captain, Ryan Getzlaff, bumped into Holtby after the Ducks were a few goals down. And he did it intentionally. Then he argued with Holtby and tried to accuse him of taking a dive, but he nailed him. It was planned. It was premeditated. I actually loved it that he got his team fired up, and then all of a sudden they all started crashing and banging around the front of the net. Now, the reason I felt that they were going to lose this, because they played Chicago the week before, 2 weeks before, and Chicago just wanted to play a skating game. And it was an awful hockey game. The Caps got a bunch of goals. It was too dainty for me. And I just felt like that was going to come back when they play a good team, a false sense of security, getting up a few goals when you're not hitting, when you're not engaging, when you're not playing, you know, the game, you know, the coaches call it properly. But I just felt like it was going to come back and bite them with Anaheim, because Anaheim got gritty the rest of that game, and all their goals ended up being net front, not things from the perimeter. And the Caps got caught, you know, just skating around, not physically engaged, and that one cost them. So that's something they have to be aware of, but you can't get mad at it. You know, you take it. 7-game win streak, 1 loss, you know, and then start over, you know, repeat. So you can't get too upset with what happened, but they definitely got to learn from that they can't get in these games where they're just skating up and down the ice and not being physically engaged.
What kind of energy do you think will be out at T-Mobile in Vegas tonight? I don't think Vegas having a great year. I think they're coming back a little bit. They had a rough start, but they're not having a great year.
No, they're not, and the Caps are still in their head. You look how the Caps were able to handle them so well in the playoffs, and then the second Wednesday of the season, they throttled them. And you know, Vegas hasn't forgot that, but the last time the Caps went in there last year during the regular season, they came in a back-to-back. I think it was about 18 hours after. They didn't know what to expect playing in that arena. So I expect that the Vegas crowd will be ramped up, and you know, everyone wants to play well against the defending Stanley Cup champs, especially in their own building. So the Caps are going to have to be on their toes. They're going to have to be really good at the puck tonight. They know how to beat Vegas, and they just got to stick to their game plan and make sure that everyone's participating in this game if they want to get the 2 points.
Looks like another week at least until TJ Oshie returns. He did not make the trip out west with the Caps. How are the Caps coping with his absence at this point?
Well, Tom Wilson is making it seem like it doesn't matter, because he's taken over the role as the top guy on the right side, on the penalty kill, on the power play. You obviously miss Oshie. He's now third on the team in goals behind, you know, Nick Backstrom passed him last week in goals for. But TJ is the kind of guy you want back, but he's got to be healthy. Last year, I felt he came back too early from his concussion. So even when he thinks he's ready to come back, whether he thinks it's next week or the week after, I wouldn't let him come back because you want him to be 100% the rest of the way. Last year, he had about a two and a half month absence. Even though he was in the lineup, he wasn't there. And I just think that he's got to be 100%, 110% when he gets back. And the team has had players step up. And the biggest thing is just make sure that he's ready because you don't want a half of TJ Oshie. You want all of them so you're that much more formidable.
Are you happy with Holtby's play over the first 25?
Absolutely. Yeah, I am. You know what? His numbers were ugly in the first 15 games or so of the season for the team, and I blame that on the team. They weren't physically engaged on the puck. They weren't battling hard on the boards in their one-on-one puck battles. They weren't back-checking hard enough. They weren't blocking shots the way that you have to sacrifice, whether it's 5-on-5 or penalty kill. And it seems like the night that Tom Wilson came back, that all changed. And so there were less high-danger scoring opportunities, backdoor plays on Holtby. And no goalie in the league would have had good numbers with the way the Caps were playing defensively at that time. So I'm happy. I think I told you guys last week and the week before, I'm really happy with the way he's playing. It's just the team had to get more engaged. And he's doing what he has to keep this team in games, and his numbers will continue to get better and better as the season rolls along.
Joined by Alan May, NBC Sports Washington, Washington Capitals analyst. Not an easy three-game roadie for the Caps. We already touched on the Golden Knights. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Then they go to the Coyotes. They've won three straight, and then they finish up this quick three-gamer at Columbus. Blue Jackets trail the Caps by just one in the Metro. So it's a tough little trip.
It is. It definitely is. And you know, the big thing is the last year the Capitals went on a road trip about the same time. They went into Dallas, got a win there. Then they had lost an ugly game late to the Coyotes, then went into Vegas and were down 3-0 and never recovered in the first 10 minutes. And this is the same type of thing. But now when you're going in there, you've got to respect Vegas so much more. They're not smoke and mirrors. Then you go in Arizona. Arizona plays probably the ugliest brand of hockey in the National Hockey League, but they find ways to beat the better teams. Because their young players are totally engaged defensively. They make you look bad. They get your coach upset. They get the players all frustrated. And the Caps are going to have to be aware. But the good thing is they got a day off between games. And then going into Columbus, you know that it's always a physical battle. John Tortorella's teams always give their best. They work and they work and they work. And I just think it's good for the Capitals to be going into teams that are all playing well. It forces you to up your game and create a level of consistency that you have to – that you need to be, you know, closer to excellent than further away.
Hey, Alan, you played, of course, professional hockey. You've been around the game for years and years. You know how professional sports works. Just kind of want your opinion on the Redskins. We've been talking about it all day. Even when a coach has injuries as an excuse, do you move on at some point? What's kind of your opinion on this? I know you follow them to an extent.
Well, I think that anytime you have top injuries to all your top players, as they had yesterday, was, you know, just more bad luck for them. Players win the games more. You know, everyone wants to fire the coach all the time, but you have to have the right players. There's got to be a buy-in, and all of a sudden, the mentality of the team starts to deteriorate when players get hurt, and you'll get guys like Brian Mitchell, who's like, it doesn't matter who's wearing the jersey, but. You know, there are top players, there are big-name players that you have to have in the lineup. Where would the Capitals be if Backstrom, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Carlson were hurt? They'd be having a tough time getting any type of win. So injuries, you know, you have to have good players in the lineup, and then, you know, they make coaches look good. I remember reading Pat Riley's book, and I'm going to jump over to basketball years ago, and I was always a big Pat Riley fan. And he had talked about, you know, what a genius he was as the coach of the Lakers. He'd be eating breakfast and take out a napkin and start diagramming plays and go out and he'd execute. He was the smartest guy in the world. Then he goes to the New York Nets and all of a sudden, or the New York Knicks, and all of a sudden he's diagramming these plays and these guys can't do anything. And then he started to lose his confidence. Then he realized one day, he goes, oh my God, I had Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, all these great players. That was the reason. Those players made me a great coach. Those players made me a good coach. You have to have the horses to win.
It's true, but you know, and horses are part of it, that with the Capitals,
they were always successful, but never got over the top. And then you know, GM moved on, and they brought, you know, McClellan takes over as the general manager, and there were some differences.
Well, the big thing is that, you know, people do get stale in their roles, and it starts at upper management. There's a trickle down with coaches. But one thing the Capitals have done under Brian McClellan is they took away the excuses every year. Before Barry Trotz, they always had these rookie coaches making minimum wage. Then they brought in an experienced coach. They were deficient on defense, so they went out and got two more accomplished veteran defensemen. Then they thought they had a center problem, so they went out and got Lars Eller. You know, they needed to be three deep down the middle. So there are things that matter, but, you know, there was no noise outside of the Capitals. They didn't let contract squabbles get in the way of things. There have been no problems off the field, off the ice. So you eliminate all that noise. The Redskins had a lot of noise last week, and that's one of the things I think that hurts them more than anything. There's always noise that's unrelated to the game on the field, and that's a problem. And I think your culture is defined by your leadership, and that's, you have to make sure that everything is clean and in order, and then you can just worry about, and you should only worry about what's going on the ice or the field.
All right, Alan. I just saw a tweet, and they said that thank God for Alan May. You brightened his day.
Well, after your last caller, it was really, really, really easy.
Exactly. I appreciate it, Alan.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
okay, take care.
All right.
It's Caps out in Vegas tonight.
That's right.
And EB, maybe drop. The ring does come in this week, and this whole failing season, because at 5-2, we are thinking they're in perfect position to make the playoffs. I think the percentages are 75% of teams that are 5-2 make the playoffs. It's not fait accompli, but it was looking good, and the defense was playing great.
Yeah.
And the season has spiraled downward, and it's pretty much done. Nobody believes they're going to make the playoffs now with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. Are winnable, but do you believe they're going to make the playoffs? That's pretty much
laughable. No, because they would have to win defensive battles, and the way the defense is playing now, they can't win games like that.
Right. But
so they would have to win games like 17-13 with Sanchez, and I don't see
pretty,
it.
But even the ring could maybe bring a smile to your face.
Yeah, I was banking on it coming in on Friday, but I'm not hearing any secret buzz.
It's not looking that way.
Yeah. Maybe we're just, it's just a big giant troll.
You never know. You love trollers.
Could be just a big giant troll.
Particularly in house.
Right, you love them. Oh, boy.
I'm not getting into it.
Tark El-Bashir covers the Redskins. He's going to join us at 9:20. When we come back, I know that you guys are all against it, but I want to dive deeper into the Colin Kaepernick question. David Aldridge, who writes for The Athletic, I think he's the editor of The Athletic in D.C., says it's time for Colin Kaepernick. 800-636-1067. Do you think the Redskins, who have to bring in a quarterback, should bring in Cap?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.